Campaign Beat is hosted by Sally Mock and features Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporter Holly Michaels and University of Montana political science professor and Mansfield Center fellow Rob Saldine. Here's Sally.
Rob, the three Democratic primary candidates for governor, Mike Cooney, Whitney Williams, and Casey Schreiner, are going to hold their first debate on February 12th in Billings. I, for one, look forward to that.
Yep, so do I. The three of us are going to be glued to these debates, as we always are. You know, the shocking reality, though, is that most people don't watch these things. You know, I think a lot of those who do actually are probably already in the can for a particular candidate. They follow this stuff a lot more than the average person. They made up their minds about who they're going to support a long time ago. But that said, I do think these debates are really important. It's what we have. It's one of the few occasions that these candidates will get to speak to a statewide audience. And even for people who don't actually watch the debate, there are other ways that this stuff kind of seeps in. You know, I mean, Holly, I'm sure you or someone from the Lee Papers will be there and doing a story, and Corin will have a piece. And so even if you aren't tuning in from bell to bell, the information from these debates does get filed away in a lot of voters' minds.
Mike Cooney, of course, is the most well-known of the three candidates because he's lieutenant governor and has been for a while. But for Whitney Williams and Casey Schreiner, I think this is a real opportunity for the lesser-known candidates, these debates, to get their name out there and get their policies out there.
Yes, Allie. I mean, I think these debates are always more important for the challengers, the less well-known candidates. And I think you probably would say that Mike Cooney has a little bit of an edge going into this, although, you know, Whitney Williams, as we discussed a week or two ago, had that great first fundraising report. Not exactly a surprise, but she certainly needed it. And I think she and Schreiner, more than Cooney, need solid debate performances. They both just have less margin for error than Cooney. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if the two of them come out a little bit more aggressive, Cooney playing a little bit more prevent defense, just trying not to make some mistake that gets a lot of media attention. From Williams, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she tries to make a little bit of a electability argument, right? People know Cooney, especially in Democratic circles. They like him. He's a nice guy, but there's a little bit of this question you hear sometimes about whether he has that killer instinct. If this thing turns into a, you know, who have you shaken hands with more times kind of thing, you know, Cooney wins. But if Williams can, or Schreiner for that matter, if they can make the argument that they'd be tougher for whoever wins the Republican primary, that might help them stick out a little bit.
That debate is going to be live streamed by the Billings Gazette, and it takes place on February 12th, and people can watch it on Facebook or I think on the Billings Gazette homepage. Holly, two of the three Republican candidates for governor have now picked their running mates, and this week Attorney General Tim Fox picked former Bozeman state legislator John Kanoky to run as his lieutenant governor.
Yeah, Kanoky is an interesting pick. He's pretty well known in the Bozeman area after, like you said, serving a term in the state legislature. He also played quarterback for Montana State University, which tends to get you a lot of attention in Montana. Fox said he picked Kanoky because they share a lot of the same values. And at that press conference this last week, he really played up Kanoky's experience in business. Kanoky's the manager of corporate strategy for John Deere, and that adds a little bit of a private sector flavor to the ticket versus just Fox alone, who spent the last decade and change running for or serving an elected office. Kanoky's also interesting. He unseated a Democratic incumbent in 2016 in House District 65 in Bozeman in a really close race. So that sort of, I'm sure, is something that Fox was looking at when he selected him. You know, Kanoky talked a little bit about his legislative background at that press conference. He served on the Appropriations Committee in his term in the session, so he's got an understanding of the state budget. But he spent a lot more of his time really trying to hammer home to the supporters and the media who were there that, you know, he's trying to say he and Fox are really the most electable in the general election out of the Republicans that are in this primary.
Here's how Kanoky characterized the Fox candidacy.
We must elect the Republican that can win in November. All right?
And that is the central message of this Republican ticket, isn't it, Holly, that Greg Gianforte is too extreme and too polarizing to beat a Democrat in November?
It is. You know, no Republican, I think, in this race is really eager to call themselves a moderate, but that's the line that Fox and Kanoky are trying to walk here with the electability argument. You definitely heard both Fox and Kanoky use the word conservative as much as they could to describe themselves in speeches at that press conference, and they rattled off some rankings that Gianforte has gotten from conservative think tanks that sort of look at congressmen and assign them a grade or percentage based on if they vote with their values. Those aren't maybe the best way to gauge candidates, but it is something you see people bring up a lot in elections. And Fox is really trying to talk about things he's done as attorney general that show he's a strong conservative. But if you also looked around in the room at some of the supporters who were there, you kind of get an idea of what's going on. That's the members from the state legislature are part of this Solutions Caucus group, which holds a lot of power, and they've found a lot of support working with Democrats to pass things like Medicaid expansion. That caucus has also really shied away from the label moderate, trying even last in 2019 session to make sure everybody called them the Solutions or Conservative Solutions Caucus. But that moderate label is still swirling around, and Fox and Kanoki are trying to take that and sort of rebrand it by calling themselves these uniters who have broad appeal, which they're saying is best for the general election.
Rob, in a recent meeting with a Missoulian newspaper editorial board, Governor Steve Bullock took some jabs at Senator Steve Daines, and he criticized Daines' support of tax cuts for the wealthy and his opposition to Obamacare, among other things. He sounds like someone who might want to run against Daines, but he still says it will not be Steve Bullock.
I know. He keeps teasing the Democratic voters on this. He sure does sound like a candidate. And a lot of times I think you'd see someone in his position, the term-limited governor who's not running for another office, kind of try to stay above the fray on this kind of stuff. The attacks on Daines, it absolutely sounds like something that you'd see from a candidate. This is also not new from Bullock, right? He's been saying things like this for a number of weeks. But I think clearly he reiterated at the end of that, again, that he was absolutely not going to be a candidate. And at this point, it would be bizarre if he did change his mind. He's said that so many times and been so adamant and left really no wiggle room for himself. So I think Democrats have to move on and assume they're going to have another nominee.
He did say he would be open to discussing a cabinet position, though, if a Democrat wins the presidency in November.
Sure. I mean, I think that's probably what he's hoping for. If he stays in public life, could also go off into the private sector and make a lot of money. But you could absolutely imagine him at Interior or Agriculture, maybe even the AG spot.
Holly, Congressman and Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Gianforte held another telephone town hall this week. And I think town hall is a misnomer since there's no hall. It's just a call-in phone line. And this is the new normal for Gianforte and for Steve Daines to hold these teletown halls. And they both have been roundly criticized by Democrats, mostly for not being willing to hold in-person public meetings with any Montanan and any reporter, for that matter, who wants to show up.
So in 2017, during the legislative session, it was right after the 2016 presidential election, Daines was scheduled to address the legislature, and that day a really large group of people, sort of following the wave of the women's march that we saw at the Capitol just a bit before, showed up pretty frustrated that Daines hadn't held town hall in-person meetings and were trying to get time with him or demand him that day. And Daines actually ended up rescheduling his address to the legislature, some saw in kind of a move to avoid that interaction with that group. And we have seen, like you said, since taking office, both Daines and Gianforte have chosen to have their sort of main, most publicized outreach with voters or with constituents over the phone instead of in person. We still see Democrat Senator John Tester, on the other hand, hold in-person town halls several times a year around the state. I've covered a lot of those, and it does feel a lot different than those phone calls, which I also listen in on. The door's open. Anybody can come and go. Typically, the senator, and this is the same for both the phone and in-person town halls, talks a little bit about what they've been up to in D.C. for about 10 or 15 minutes and then opens it up to questions. But when you've got an in-person town hall like Tester does, you see the microphone passed around. You see that everyone who wants to has a chance to ask a question. When it's done on the phone, you don't really know how that process works. You press, I think, like *3 to get in the queue, but I don't know if there's any screening done on that.
Rob, this week also saw a much publicized interview between NPR host Mary Louise Kelly and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, where he threw a major fit because she asked him questions he didn't like. And then he retaliated by bumping another NPR reporter from his latest trip overseas. And to me, these incidents correlate with Daines and Gianforte trying to avoid or dodge what could be uncomfortable questions from the press or the public. And as a journalist, this strikes me as an ever more serious erosion of accountability by public officials. I take it personally, I have to say.
Right, and we could cite other examples too. Look, I have a little bit of sympathy for Danes and Gianforte when it comes to public town halls, because there have been a number of high-profile incidents of semi-orchestrated town halls in which basically people show up with an agenda to try to embarrass the member of Congress and create a big media event that makes them look really bad. And so you can understand why people are not eager to get into that situation. That said, I mean, for all the reasons you say, Holly, I mean, it does take them away from their constituents, right? These people that they're supposed to be representing and staying in touch with. And Sally, I think you're right. There is an overlap. In our current media environment, we can all kind of create our own little media echo chambers. You worry that it's now possible for a lot of these politicians to essentially do an end run around any type of media that isn't going to just fawn over them and report 100% favorably. And that's a concern for our democracy, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Montana, I think we still have a pretty special landscape where we do have pretty good access to our elected officials, but it takes a push on the part of the media to not just get complacent and actually demand that time. I'd actually be interested, Sally, to hear someone from your longevity and what access was like to, you know, state level officials. You know, I started this job in 2015, and I've heard, you know, you used to be able to just walk into the governor's office and ask a question, and now there's your communication staff that you go to, and there's still that access, but I've heard it used to be pretty different in Montana before.
Yeah, it was so different. It's really changed a ton. Every reporter I know had the personal cell phone number of the governor and could call them up and usually get a response within a few hours at most. And now it's not like that. And you could get an interview with any politician you wanted, no matter what their party, and they would always get back to you. And that is not the case now. In some sense, social media has changed that. Of course, they can get their message out. They don't need us to get their message out. But also, I think the tenor of interviews has changed. It's become more combative. If you ask a question that they're uncomfortable about, it's likely they will berate you for asking it. I've been berated by more than one politician in my career of both parties, for sure. But I think that's way more common now, making the reporter feel like you've done something you shouldn't have done when, in fact, you've done your job.
I think, too, something I've noticed is, and we saw this with the Mary Louise Kelly thing, where she explained, you know, I did clear with your staff that I was going to be asking about Ukraine. And that's something I noticed communication staff want, you know, questions in advance, or even, you know, just topics. And if you ask something that's outside of that area, which is something that's part of our jobs as journalists, when we have access to an elected official to ask them things we need to know to report back to our readers. And that's something I've noticed before, is that there's a little more hostility sometimes when you ask things that are relevant to, you know, current situations, but maybe weren't cleared before or something like that.
I've been asked many times for questions in advance and have never given my questions in advance. I might give the topic, but I won't give the questions ever.
Yeah, topics can be, you know, helpful if you're talking about something that they might not be well-versed on off the top of their head.
Right.
But you should, if you're an elected official, you're expected to have a depth of knowledge on a lot of things. And yeah, questions in advance is not great.
Right. Well, it's a worrisome trend, to say the least. We will reconvene next week. Holly and Rob, till then, enjoy the balmy weekend.
Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat features University of Montana political science professor and Mansfield Center fellow Rob Saldine and Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporter Holly Michaels, and host Sally Mock. Join us next week for more analysis of Montana politics.